CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. It's Wednesday morning. I hope you are having a very good day. And you know what the good news is about this week? Is it's a short week. Today really should be a Tuesday, but it's a Wednesday already. So before you know it, we're going to be at Friday.
Yay.
And it's the last Friday of September, and then October.
Oh, it's unbelievable. See? Time does fly when you get to the last part of the year. So you better line up those things that you want to get done before the end of 2018, because you're going to blink and it'll be 2019. Yeah. All right. Let's move into some stuff that's going on in the world. First, I want to get to some emails. And by the way, you can call us on 0861-555-189. What's going on?
We read that one a little earlier.
No. Oh, right. Sorry. This is the one from Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. I talk about the Mark Shuttleworth.
But there is a...
But where is Shuttleworth? Does anyone know?
I actually, after that email, I tried to Google...
Just to let everybody know, if you didn't hear part one...
Find things out.
Mark Shuttleworth, his name was brought up the other day, and Ryan's just wondering where he is.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Reading books.
Somewhere on the face of this planet. But speaking of emails that we received, someone sent us this link to an article after our conversation yesterday, and you mentioned the whole 3 kilograms of weed that supposedly people are allowed to carry. Well, this is, according to the SAPS in Limpopo, they've distanced...
Hang on.
Why are you laughing mention of Limpopo?
Just hold on. Yeah, because the police in Limpopo is never a good authority to quote on anything. I mean, I spoke to Jane Malachi, who comes from Limpopo, and whenever we mention the province, she starts laughing, and she's from there. She's proud of being from there.
Oh, just give Limps a little chance, please.
Limpopo. All right, so what do the police in Limpopo say?
They're distancing themselves from this document, and this, I think, is what you were... talking about, Gareth, a document that instructs police that 3 kgs of dacha is actually a legal amount to carry on one's person. The document goes on and has been widely circulated on social media, saying that all commanders are requested to inform members under their command to stop arresting suspects for possession of dacha with immediate effect, and only in cases of dealing with dacha or possession of dacha exceeding 3 kgs in weight should a suspect be arrested. But over the weekend, Limpopo SAPS are saying, we can't confirm its authenticity. We regard it as a fake document.
Right.
And so, yeah, we still don't really know how much is legal or how much
is
illegal.
Well, you know what? If the police arrest you, they're in the wrong. So technically, and the police are being sued left, right, and center because they're so incompetent, but technically if they waste their time arresting someone for anything under, let's say, 3 kilograms, if that is the upper limit, it's a lot. That's what we discussed yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, so basically you can't be arrested unless you've got 2 wheelbarrows.
Well, that's about how much it is.
Three kilograms of weed is right.
Before the ruling, being in possession of more than 100...
And if you've ever tried to push 2 wheelbarrows, sorry...
You know it's a lot.
You need more arms.
You just know it's a lot.
So, yeah?
Before the ruling, being in possession of more than 115 grams of dacha was considered dealing and not possession.
Okay.
So, 115 grams.
Well, can you bring 2.8 kilograms into the country?
No. You, imports and exports are different things.
Different five.
Yeah, no. I don't think they're very thrilled if you bring anything... you can bring liquor from duty free, but then you can't bring in like tons of it. You can't bring in like 10 bottles.
Sure.
You know what
I mean? But like anything to declare, yes, just the right amount of dacha.
No, I think you have to grow your own here or buy it from a local supplier. All right, but this weed thing is interesting because millennials are investing in marijuana stock. This is one of the areas that is growing. Listen to this quickly.
Millennials may not be known for having much in the way of savings, but it turns out they are turning into quite the investor generation. But it's not new tech or cryptocurrency that they're investing in. Well, not this time anyways. But according to Business Insider, it's cannabis companies that are garnering the hard-earned cash of millennials. For instance, cannabis company Cronos has grown by more than 95% in the last 6 weeks, and now ranks number 11 in most popular stocks. According to the brokerage firm Robinhood, that's above social media giant Twitter and online services like Netflix and Amazon. And Canadian company Tilray has seen its stock skyrocket 800% since going public in July. And they have also recently received approval to ship their products over national borders into California. Coca-Cola was even thinking about getting in on the action as well. But although their recent talks with Aurora Cannabis to make CBD-infused beverages fell through, Aurora plans to put its shares up on the U.S. Stock Exchange next month. So even though outsiders who invest in cannabis companies can be permanently banned from entering the U.S., it's hard to ignore such a budding market.
There we go. How do you like that? I mean, obviously, the stupid pun at the end, notwithstanding. That is interesting, right? This group Kronos has attracted huge amounts of millennial investment. They realize that this is a substance that people are interested in, that's got a growth potential, that is now being legalized in various places all over the world. And if you were to take a gamble on some of this in terms of a possible future investment area that could grow, maybe you'd be onto something. In this country, I would buy cannabis stocks if I could.
Sure, but we've said it before many, many times, weed tourism. Let's get the Eastern Cape productive again.
Right. Well, Malusi Gigaba can't even sort out children who have got their parents with them coming into the country. He's not going to get onto this anytime soon. All right. There's lots to talk about, though. Ben, I heard that Donald Trump was at the UN.
Yeah. Well, I just think when Donald goes to the UN, it's like going to like some. It's like going for dinner at a poor person's house. He must look around there and think he's ultimately very smug.
Well, does he feel that way, or do the people who invited him feel like he's an intruder on their territory?
Well, it's a bit of both, because
we know they don't like him.
Yeah, exactly. But then he looks around and goes, "Well, half the people in this room are from shitholes." Just think, like the way Donald thinks.
That's how he feels about them.
He must go into that General Assembly and go, "Well, there's not enough gold in here for a start." Because he basically said, like,
it's gold plated.
Like, this is what Trump Towers looked like before I did something to it. You can just see it as he gets up to like make a speech. He's just got this look on his
face. Not impressed.
It's just funny.
All right, do you want to hear what he had to say? Here he is. Here's Donald Trump at the United Nations addressing the General Assembly.
General, world leaders, ambassadors, and distinguished delegates. 1 year ago, I stood before you for the first time in this grand hall. I addressed the threats facing our world, and I presented a vision to achieve a brighter future for all of humanity. Today, I stand before the United Nations General Assembly to share the extraordinary progress we've made. In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
I don't understand. Are they laughing at him, or are they laughing with him? Because it seems that they also applaud. So they're not being mean.
Well,
what's going on?
I reckon he saves it quite well, because you can see, like, when he says that, he wasn't going to take a break or anything. He was going to talk more about how he's achieved the most.
Right.
And some people did start to laugh.
But of course, this is all in his own head. I mean, you know, you can be a big Trump fan, and we know that there are lots of people around the world who are. And some of the things that Trump is doing are pretty revolutionary, and some of the things that he's doing are pretty stupid. But in this case, he is talking to a group of people who are career politicians. They are bureaucrats of the highest order. You know, if you do well in your own country in terms of... By well, I'm putting that in inverted commas.
Yeah.
If you in your own country can find ways of using public money for yourself, then you usually get shipped off to the UN, which is using not just your own country's money, but international money for yourself. And for whatever pet causes you have. I don't doubt that there are good people at the UN, but I think they're in the minority. Because the UN, it really doesn't punch very hard. There's not a lot of people who take it seriously. It's funded primarily by the United States, because these countries that are supposedly jockeying for positions on the Security Council and everywhere else, they aren't powerful countries. So the UN is this weird egalitarian place where, you know, Togo is considered the same as Sweden, even though they're not the same. And then a guy like Trump arrives there. I don't think he's in a, let's just say he's not in a friendly environment. And when they laugh, maybe they laugh because they don't like him. And it doesn't help that he makes up facts. Donald Trump tries really hard to make it about him in any given situation. It's always ego. It's always him. He boasts a lot about how his administration has achieved more than any other administration. Well, by what standard? You know, I'm pretty sure that there are other administrations, maybe Ronald Reagan bringing down the wall in Berlin and ending the Cold War. You don't think that's a big deal? Mm. How about...
No, not to him.
You don't think Truman ending World War II? You don't think Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, four terms? You don't think that was a big deal? Your administration is the best ever? I don't know, Donald. Anyway, they laugh. And then they applaud, because they also know they have to keep it together, yep. Otherwise the U.S. will stop funding them.
Thank you for checking out.
Oh, okay, well, that's all we got.
So, but they should really just turn the U.N. into like a museum. Because let's be honest, it's one big circle joke for, like, yeah. Cyril goes over there, and what do they do when they get bored? They try to dig up, like, Madiba's legacy. So Cyril goes over there this week to unveil a Madiba statue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we need more of those in life, sure. I mean, let's not discredit the guy's legacy, but it's also a smokescreen for dickheads like Cyril and his Chinas to then just cozy up with China.
Literal Chinas, or, yeah. Ben, because excuse the pun with this one.
You don't like Cyril, Ben?
You know what?
Statues. Do we need more statues?
But exactly. And the absolutely whole UN is not one big circle joke. As you say, Gareth, people who have won popularity contests in their own country to go over there, eat fine food, tap into high-profile escorts. For what? For who? Are the people of Togo really benefiting from the fact that some guy's in a suit in New York?
You say not. That now. I think we have at least four high profile people for South Africans at the UN right now. Mm-hmm. So our president is there, our Miss South Africa is there, Demi-Lena Peters is there. Okay. Yeah. And they're all on their own different accords, and it's right. Odd.
Nothing like a beauty queen to get the wheels turning.
Well,
at the
she's
UN.
Talking about the TB at the United Nations, and everyone all is right. Like, oh, this is great.
Right, well, let's give her credit.
Okay,
let's
girl. Okay. Credit.
Well, if they can solve TB and those kind of things, it just looks like a whole waste of time. And that ain't cheap. That's prime real estate.
You've seen that Nando's ad, right? The Nando's ad that makes fun of all the ads that are trying to be cool. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. And what, like...
I saw a recent one with marijuana. It was very funny.
Huh?
This Nando's ad that I'm talking about is hilarious. They've got a whole lot of these kind of things that you're seeing in ad after ad after ad for products that are completely unrelated to cool things.
Yeah.
And... in one of the scenes, they've got our friend Simba Gozo, who, of course, is a former co-host of the Casper Radio Show, a model and a motivational speaker. And we're going to have him in here because we've spoken to Simba about this before, but he has albinism. And the month of September, which is almost over, is Albinism Awareness Month. So we're going to talk to Simba, catch up with what he's doing, and check in on him because we haven't spoken to him for some time. And also find out what he did in the ad. Besides what he did in the ad, also find out what he thinks of the situation in the world at the moment for people with albinism. You know, is it any better? Is it any worse? We hear horror stories about how people with albinism are treated.
Well, into the African continent, yeah, you hear terrible about, stories. Yeah,
people are put to death and all kinds of ugly things. So we're going to keep an eye on that, obviously. And you know that Instagram's founders are leaving the company. We spoke about that briefly yesterday. Well, there's an interesting article from Fast Company about how Instagram's founders are leaving, but that doesn't mean that Snapchat will suddenly become appealing to Instagram users. It got me thinking about what it is that, for the moment, makes Instagram cool. And we talked a little bit yesterday about there should be some social price to pay for trolling. It got a very interesting reaction from people. Some people saying, no, absolutely not. You should be allowed to troll, and you should also be allowed to see how many likes you've had and how many views you've had, and that's important in social media.
Well, that is what it's about.
Yeah, that's kind of why people get the dopamine hits, I suppose.
Exactly.
But there's an interesting book out by Glenn Beck, the US broadcaster, a guy who used to be on Fox, he used to be on CNN. He's written a book called something about addiction. Addicted to Outrage is what it's called.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
There's an interesting subject for discussion. Addicted to Outrage. And his book, I think, is out on Amazon. Got to get myself a copy and see what that's all about. Because even though you might not agree with some of the conspiracy stuff that Glenn Beck's been involved in over the years, he may just be onto something with the way society works at the moment with this addiction to outrage. Because that gives you your dopamine hits too. You know, you classify an addiction as something that makes you feel good, so you keep doing it even though you know you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You can't stop doing it. And there are people who are addicted to being outraged because it gets them attention. And that gives them the dopamine hit that they need. And therefore they start getting into a spiral where all they're doing all day is looking for reasons to be offended and outraged and upset. And you see it, and you know what I'm talking about, because in this country we've seen very public examples of outrage culture.
Yeah, because it kind of gives them something to define their lives around. But I was listening to Joe Rogan's recent interview with Chuck Palahniuk.
Who's that?
He's author of Fight Club.
Oh, right.
One of the most fascinating interviews, and you would say this about so many Joe Rogan interviews, but like however long, 3 hours, it's just, I don't even keep track anymore. This dude is one of the most intense people I've ever heard. And the stories, and because he's a writer, but like a traditional kind of writer, he is so dark. But his assessment on things like outrage culture and how students now believe it is just their purpose. They've got to be like this. And how more, and then Joe Rogan, of course, talking about the fact that more and more comedians will just flatly say, I will never perform at university campuses because there's no humor anymore. Chris Rock said this a long time ago. No one has a sense of humor because everyone's so busy to being outraged.
It is a thing, and it's a big problem in society. What have you got on your mind this morning, Ben? Because a couple of stories I'll get to after you've had your say.
Gareth, there was something quite interesting about pigs in duvets.
What?
Exactly.
What?
So you know pigs in blankets?
Are you talking about when someone says a pig in a blanket, they mean like a hot dog type thing? It's food. It's a kind of food.
Yeah, so you're looking at essentially...
it's like a sausage roll, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a sausage with bacon around it.
Oh, is that what a pig in a blanket is? I always thought it was just like a sausage roll.
Yeah, so what pigs in blankets has been for so long, it's been a traditional kind of staple thing. But now going into the festive season...
I just want to say that's really ironic because the pig is also the blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be called pigs blankets.
So pigs in blankets, which is obviously something if you don't mind your cholesterol going through the roof, which is basically be on the couch most of your life. But now pigs in duvet could be taking the festive season by storm. And essentially, it's just a glorified sausage roll. So you'd have all kinds of stuffing inside, and then it's like this pastry over the top now. And England are losing it. They are so excited. This has become a major story. If you think your life isn't that exciting, Tesco's in England, they are having a good go at making the pigs in duvets something to remember this Christmas.
What is it about bacon, huh? What is it about bacon that makes people so crazy?
Well, also, like, I thought about this, but then again, they're going into their cold season right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so while we sit here, we're starting to get some tans and get outside more and get our drink on. England and the Northern Hemisphere, they've got so little to look forward to. That is why pigs in duvets is a story right now.
This is the time to launch
comfort
something
food,
like that. Yeah.
Because they've got comfort food. They're going to cover themselves up until they go to Majorca next year in May again. So they're going to be pigs in duveting hard.
Good luck to them. That sounds disgusting. I don't even like the idea of a pig in a blanket. Too much bacon. Too much meat. I know I'm in the minority on that, so you don't need to tell me. If you do want to message us, though, 0797482090. If you want to call us, 0861555189.
So,
I mentioned Simba Gozo coming in later on to talk about World Albinism Month, which is just around the corner. Well, we're already in it, but it's almost over. It'll be over by next week. Yes, Ben?
Game of Thrones, that's coming back, well, be back next year, right? There's this long delay.
Feels like forever. I'm going to have to do a refresher.
But that's what they want you to do. Because they are delaying it because George, many R.S. Martin, obviously has to be locked up into a castle somewhere where he has to thrash out the rest of the script. But as the show's going to end, for fans, they're punting this so hard that they're actually opening up the tourist attractions to become like a big holiday thing. So, like, people in Northern Ireland are suddenly being inundated by Game of Thrones fans. Obviously, in Croatia, they use a lot of those locations.
Right.
But it does make a really kind of obvious point, because when you've got something where you spend the big budgets on the locations, you should be able to recoup that somehow. We saw Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Now,
New Zealand tourism went through the roof after Lord of the Rings.
What's that guy's name?
Who, the director?
Yeah.
Little pudgy hairy man.
Pudgy hairy man.
Yeah.
Basically, he decided...
That's his actual name, yeah, by the way, if you look him up.
Someone Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. So Peter Jackson obviously created Hobbiton. Now, Hobbiton's a big deal, right? But just think of how many other movies or how many other productions like this could have actually really utilized this whole... what do you call it? Like TV tourism? Movie tourism?
Movie tourism, sure.
Because just think of like James Bond movies.
Even the Queen went to go and see the set of Game of Thrones, and she sat on the Iron Throne.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a photo? That's actually cool.
Yeah, or she looked at it. I don't know if she sat on it, but she definitely... she probably said something like,
it's not as comfortable as mine.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think it's cool. Man.
There are lots of people who go to Ireland to see the sets of Game of Thrones, and they do have them all over the world, but Ireland is where they film a lot of the stuff.
But how is this only becoming a thing now? People live and die by movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Like, just say like the Goonies. You could have used that cave. Okay, it sounds creepy taking kids into a cave, but like every movie's got something. Like, it's just...
They've been...
It's such an amazing revenue opportunity for these production houses.
As far as I know, they've been letting people visit the sets of Game of Thrones for some time.
But, like, prior to that, all these different sort of great iconic things seen in our time, isn't this more of a thing for tourism?
But, you know, remember when The Beach came out and then everybody wanted to go to that beach where Leonardo DiCaprio was in the movie?
In the Phi Phi Islands?
Yeah, people like that stuff. They want to go to where they've seen in the movies. I mean, that's what I love about New York.
Makes a lot of sense,
When you go into Central Park, you feel like you're on a movie set. In fact, when you walk down Fifth Avenue or you walk towards Times Square on Seventh Avenue... It does feel like you're in a movie because you've seen it in the movies so many times.
I would love to go to the house of Magnum P.I. That would be like such a destination.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think it still exists in Hawaii or wherever?
Of course.
You reckon?
What a house.
Okay.
And obviously you've got to have the dogs and the dogs chase you to a certain safe point.
Dobermans.
That would be an amazing trip.
It's interesting how these things do matter to some people and how that just changes everything. The house that... was in the Brady Bunch, which was the American sitcom, and was on sale a couple of months ago. And this is your standard suburban house.
It's an ordinary, shitty little house.
It's not even the house that was really used.
How much?
As they were filming.
Tell me.
I don't know the exact figure, but so many people were interested in buying it. Even like popular celebrities like Ricky Martin wanted to buy it for millions of dollars. And I'm like, what are you going to do with this house? And
horrible.
A normal street.
They probably know you could turn it into a tourist attraction. So it'll make more out of visitors walking through it than if you rented it out.
I guess, but that's still not enough motivation for me, personally.
Talking about things we should rent out, the SABC, really. We should just rent that out because they have to follow the law to the letter and retrench a whole lot of people. One of the Treasury conditions for a government guarantee to the public broadcaster was that the SABC would reduce employee costs in order to be sustainable. But in 2018, employee costs were still the biggest thing at the SABC. You know, it's a huge part of what they pay for, their employee costs. They've got way too many people working there, and a lot of them are crap, and they can't get rid of them. But there is a retrenchment memo that has been sent to SABC staff. They'll be laying off hundreds of workers as the public broadcaster struggles to pay service providers. And the chairman of the board said that they are going to be working very hard to reduce that. It is sitting at 42% of the total revenue. That's how much they spend on employees, which is an anomaly. That's what the board chairperson said. You're telling me it's an anomaly. So get ready for hundreds of people at the SABC to be fired soon.
Well, they can all go sit in those cricket stadiums and watch the games live.
That's right, because Ben told us that that's what's happening. Apparently, Will Smith did something interesting for his birthday.
Will Smith turned 50.
Can you believe that? I mean, he looks damn good for 50.
That is just a moment to take in, though. Like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and now you're 50.
Yeah. So what did he do for his 50th birthday?
Get a new wife.
No. Why would you get a new wife? Jade is great.
Well, those two have been in an open relationship for ages, though.
Have they?
No, they just define their marriage differently. Like they have a.
That's according to Jada, actually. Ben's got a point.
They have a business plan for their marriage. Oh, no,
anyway, different. Will did something cool for his birthday. He didn't go and have a
new wife.
Yeah, he didn't go and make love to some other woman while Jada watched. He jumped out of a helicopter into the Grand Canyon, a bungee jump from a helicopter into the Grand Canyon for his 50th birthday. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but that's totally a YouTube stunt because you know he's doing a lot of YouTube stuff nowadays.
Yeah, it went straight onto his YouTube account. Here he is, listen. Here he is jumping. You can't hear very much over the chopper, but they're telling him what to do. And he looks pretty nervous, I gotta tell you.
You bet.
I would be. Ever done bungee jumping?
Yeah.
I've done that Moses Mabhida swing at
Moses
Mabhida Stadium, and I've done bungee jumping. I don't like either of them very much when you're in it, but man, what a rush.
Afterwards, you feel amazing.
Will looks pretty damn serious here, I gotta tell you. And then he jumps. And he's standing on the, you know, the railing on the side of the helicopter that it lands on?
Oh.
He's standing on one of those.
Woohoo! Bungees are good.
He's ready to go. This is exciting. I'm not even there and I'm excited.
Yeah, he's got quite a team that works with him on this whole vlogging thing he started.
Well, good for him. He's getting the numbers, right? He's over the top of this huge, gaping Grand Canyon. Helicopter's trying to maintain a stationary position. Will looks really, really nervous. Like, horrendously nervous. And here he goes. Whole family are watching him from below.
Are we ready inside, Danny?
I want to do this.
Oh.
There he goes.
Okay, put camera into position in the helicopter.
Okay.
It's like a huge crowd of people watching it as well. The rope is already hanging out of the thing because you don't want that caught. He really does look nervous. I gotta tell you, he looks terrified.
Well, I don't blame the guy.
All the suspense I would be too.
Yeah. Makes for a great YouTube video. Here he goes. I know all we're doing is promoting Will's YouTube channel, but man, it's cool. That is cool. 50 years old and jumping out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. It's like George W. Bush's dad, George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He went skydiving at 90.
Wow.
Remember?
Now, you say you aren't even there and you're feeling the excitement. I'm not even there and I'm feeling the anxiety.
The dread.
Oh, no. Don't have to do it. No, thank you. Not about that life.
That's not for everybody.
Yeah. Definitely not me. Anyway.
All right, what else is going on?
So this, I thought, was quite cool. I came across this list, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. Mm-hmm. So often we are hearing of how, you know, technology is taking over and robots are the future, and where does that leave humans? Well, I just realized that there is an increase of certain jobs that are necessary as we move on more into the future. It was released by the University of Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and this is a new study of theirs that is highlighting some of the pivotal roles in IT that will be necessary in the future. Supposedly, they looked at the information security analysis world, and they are set to hire more than their hiring rate will increase by 28% by the year 2026 from the following jobs. So the first one, mm-hmm. with a cool average salary of $98,000, is what they call an ethical hacker. Can you almost guess what that is?
It's someone who will try to find weak spots in your security system. They'll try to make sure that your website is safe, that there aren't any dead links. They basically are employed to do what a vicious, nasty cruel, mean, vindictive hacker would do, except they do it for the company.
Right.
So you can make sure that you don't have any vulnerabilities.
Isn't that cool?
It's a great job.
So, but I just think, you know, gone are the days of now just being, I don't know, some mere consultant. Now you can call yourself an ethical hacker consultant. They're also known as penetration testers, and supposedly there are already
penetration testers.
There are already vacancies for this, with people earning up to $98,000 for this. The job specs include someone who does IT testing, who has a background in engineering, IT quality assurance, or something similar as well. This top talent security or hacker person would be expected to use project management skills to ensure that nothing is missed when testing for system weaknesses. So that's one thing. More as well, a second role, we always are finding this out with companies knowing so much about us from our data. Well, there will also be a role of a data storyteller. This is someone who's also referred to as a computer linguist, mm-hmm. who basically will map out all of what you do online, and they'll be able to tell more concise stories about you. So using what you do and using where you go or where you're located and how you shop, they'll then be able to take that information and go to top retailers or top companies and say, well, look, if you want to know more about Ben, well, because Ben lives here and he shops here, this is what we can tell about him.
Oh, the big data crunches. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do they call them?
A data storyteller, or the more technical term is a computer linguist. And they really do serve, as they describe, as conduits for computers and people to communicate. And for a role like that, someone can earn about $75,000 as time goes by. Then there are also the likes of cyber threat intelligence analyst, there's a cybersecurity consultant, and also a chief listening officer, someone who will listen to the conversations we have on social media.
Oh, no,
I think
that
of
is,
everything,
I'm
this
sorry,
is the creepiest.
That's got to be the worst job. I don't want that guy anywhere near me. We've got enough people listening to us and watching our behavior every which way. Come on. Do we need this?
For an average salary of $140,000,
no.
There will be a need for someone to listen to what we say online, wherever we are, whether it's social media or if we are getting to that point, you know, when our phone calls aren't exactly safe. There'll be people who are able to tap into these and will able to monitor our conversations, what we do and what we say and what we're planning. Listen, that is freaky.
Speaking of jobs that are going to become extinct, have you thought of a certain job or seen someone busy doing their work recently and thought that person is absolutely going to be replaced by a machine?
Every day.
Do you think they realize, like, there are a lot of people who, and listen, I don't doubt for a moment that at some point in human evolution, at some point in the future, all of us will be replaced in some way by a machine. All of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain jobs that machines will creep into a little slower than in others. I mean, you know, the law, for example, because there's a lot of room for interpretation. The creative professions, obviously, you know, machines will become better at mimicking human creativity, but they're not there yet. But there are some jobs that are obviously going to be taken over by machines. Auditing. You think of an auditor as one of the most qualified people at any university, right? I mean, when you qualify in auditing, you go into an insurance company or a financial institution of some kind, and you have superior skills in mathematics, being able to calculate risk and being able to figure out, you know, what the chances of something happening are. There's, you know, how you indemnify certain behaviors by humans and how you pay for others. Figuring out where a company must spend and where it must save. Those are some of the tougher things. But ultimately, a machine can do that much better than a human.
Sure.
Because you can put more information into a machine. It can calculate everything in a very mathematical, logical, sensible way without any feelings and come out with the right answer, which is what you want those kinds of things for, those kinds of jobs. That's what you employ those people for.
And this is happening sooner and faster than I think we expected. You know, we had Yusuf and Yanez yesterday speaking about content creation. And they were saying they're looking at, in the next 2 years, having cameras that are manned robotically, not with actual people manning cameras and moving and changing angles. So in the next 2 years, cameramen will be obsolete.
What other jobs have you seen recently where you thought these people are not going to be here for very long? The cashier at a shop?
That'll be gone.
Because you'll be scanning your own items. Sia and I were in London in July.
Yeah.
And we went to a pharmacy.
And we scanned our own things.
You've got a little, it's like a tower. And you've got a barcode reader and you scan your items. And then once your basket is empty, you place it in the thing. Obviously, if anything's in it still, it'll beep. And then you get your little receipt, you swipe your credit card, and you're done. And if you have to prove that you're over 18, then that comes up as well.
But that's great in first world societies. I'm all for it because I just want to live more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. But,
well,
there's a but.
Slower rollouts further south here.
Yeah, but you see certain things that we're doing at a much faster pace than in other places. Our banking systems are highly evolved compared to the banking systems in even a place like the United States.
Yeah.
People in the US still use checkbooks.
They already do.
You still have to go to the branch for a lot of stuff. Yes, they are very backward when it comes to banking. In South Africa, we use banking apps on our phones. They don't have those in a lot of American banks. The majority of them. It's incredible how evolved we are in that respect. Mobile technology, much, much faster pace of change in South Africa and in Africa generally than it is in the first world. Because we need them. They still use desktop computers. We do most of our stuff on the phone.
I just don't want people to be taking away the food process, though. I'm always sketchy about that.
You don't think that machines would do that better as well? Healthier? Cleaner?
To a degree, but what they will do is then they'll mass produce more stuff. This is my problem with that. So you'll see vending machines coming into life for more and more things, which is great. Japan has a lot of that because Japan also has a space issue. So rather than having stores, they have vending machines. You see them scattered all over. That's why there's so many coins in Japan. But the idea being that if it's going to be a machine, then they can make 100 or something, keep it all relatively warm or shitty, and it'll just be good enough. Whereas with people, there's an urgency to cook something, sell something, and create volume for that.
Well, listen to this. Carl just said, a new video store opened in my area. I could not believe my eyes. They may as well have opened a fax machine store.
Yeah. Or a checkbook holder leather-bound store.
I have DVDs at home. I have a whole shelf of DVDs.
Yeah, they look nice.
I'm proud of them. They're all the movies that I've collected over the years. They're the movies that I love, the movies I could watch 100 times. Some of them I have watched 10, 12 times. What am I going to do with those? Because they're just taking up space. I don't need them. Books.
But Gareth,
a lot of people say you don't need all these books. I've got books all over my house.
But it looks nice on the wall. It's just ornamental.
Ornamental, huh?
DVDs, that kind of stuff, it's ornamental because people used to design covers for that kind of stuff. It's great. It's a feature. Just sit there. You don't have to use them.
Carl, please go to the video store and check it out and send us pictures. Okay. I remember when I was a kid, we used to love going to the video store. It was the most exciting thing in the world.
But let's put two and two together here. Marijuana has just become legal for private use. A video store just opened Carl's neighborhood.
It's a front, huh?
So maybe, yeah.
Okay. Who's on the line here, Nola? Kevin. Hey, go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going? This is Gavin. How's it team?
Yeah, good, man. Just a quickie.
Now, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's got the pharmacies, you and Sierra, going through sort of automated checkups. You know, Sainsbury's everywhere in Ireland as well as most of Europe now. You just check yourself in, but you don't even need to worry about people. It's just you go in, you put your scan your stuff through. There's no sort of personality discussion. Would you like a packet? And it's fantastic. And, you know, I'm an ethical hacker, and one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, even though we say, you know, people in general, even though we say that, you know, jobs are falling by the wayside, if you become sharp now, I mean, I'm teaching my little Oak of Liam, who you've met before once when he was raising his voice at a restaurant. If you look at Leon now, he's already saying, "Dad, can you change the firewall settings?" Or, "Dad, I see my Netflix file is not there." These guys are thinking at a completely different attitude. And but if we just help our children now and teach them the basics of coding, you don't have to do the whole spectrum. But just teach them a wee bit of Python, a little bit of Java, C Sharp. Our company specializes in C Sharp. And just teach them the basics. I promise you, but their futures are secured regardless of creed, color, nationality, and age.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that you brought that up, because there are a lot of people who are very nervous that all these jobs being lost means these people are lost to unemployment forever, which is nonsense. Just because they invented the car doesn't mean that all the people who were in the horse business in the 1900s suddenly ended up starving on the streets. They all found ways to integrate themselves into the new jobs. And there are always going to be reasons to have people around, and there will always be reasons for people to make themselves productive. And even though machines will take over some of the more dreary things, some of the more repetitive things, some of the things that they would be better at than we are, doesn't mean that people are going to become obsolete.
Yeah.
And your child sounds like a whiz if he's asking you about firewalls at that age.
Yeah, no. But you did tell him he can't raise his voice in the restaurant because he's not on Idol. But just a quickie. That was at the Oakleys many years ago. But just a quick one, man. The weird thing is, I've spent most of my for the last year or two in Ireland and whatever, in England. And the reason why is because they, as much as we can do hacking for people remotely, they are very keen to see the face. They're very keen to actually see people dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why you actually eventually go over, is because as much as you can do things automated, as much as you can run things without actually... people still buy people.
And people do like people. Like you, if you are stuck in a situation, you'd rather talk to a person than deal with an automated response machine,
Yeah, absolutely. And anyway, I just thought I'd just give my wee little interlude because I know you guys want to roll, and I just wanted to just give my 5 cents.
No, I like it. You're always welcome to. That's how we work on this show. We like you to call in. We like you to be a part of the discussion. So don't ever apologize for it. The airport. The airport's one place that you don't need people as much anymore. Have you noticed the check-in has become virtually completely automated?
So great. The first time I saw that in Singapore, it was amazing.
Yeah, any sort of front of house or teller role, bank tellers, all of this will be taken over. I have to admit, though, I went to the movies a few weeks ago. Yes, I know. I actually walked into a cinema and watched a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now, even those, there's no role of speaking to people at the movies either, because they'll have a little tab. You punch what seat you want to sit in. You punch exactly what you want to buy as well in terms of snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss talking to someone, though. I will have to side with people like that. I want to be able to say, just want that Coke and a bit of that.
The one place, even if robots end up being incredible doctors and they can fix you internally, and we have, these machines that are able to heal wounds instantly and that kind of thing, you're still going to want a person to talk to in the health profession, right?
Sure.
You're still going to need
Piece
to
of
have
mind thing, yeah.
There's a human interaction that happens there that's very special.
A robot can't answer, "Is this meant to itch like this?"
Yeah.
Look, I also thought we were kind of home free in the entertainment or the broadcasting industry, but supposedly journalists as well at a point might become obsolete. Back in 2014, that's 4 years ago already, the Associated Press began to use intelligence software to write their quarterly earnings reports.
Huh.
So up to 3,000 reports, this is 4 years ago, were being written by AI.
Yeah.
So when you think about it...
It's only going to become more.
It's easy for AI to just consolidate information, and they're able to give it back to you in terms of a summary. And also, when you really extend it, movie stars as well.
Yeah.
When you think about CGI...
Look at how they recreated Princess Leia in the last Star Wars.
There we go.
All right, a few things, just some housekeeping that we need to sort out. We were talking about Bill Cosby in the first hour, and I had a long conversation on the phone last night with Randall Abrams, who says he's the biggest filthy creep in the world, Bill Cosby. He can't believe he's only got 3 years. But we'll have to see how that unfolds. And if you want to hear more about the whole Bill Cosby situation, we weren't ignoring it. We just covered it at length in the first hour of the show this morning. Also, we're launching a brand new series. I've been talking about this for a long time. Decrypto is starting. It's the series that will help explain cryptocurrencies to you. You know, these things have been up and down. People get very frustrated because the price keeps moving. But the fact is that cryptocurrencies are here to stay. And the future that they offer us is an exciting one. It's a future full of making sure that the shared ledger, blockchain technology, all of these uncorruptible, or rather incorruptible and un-administered ways of dealing with stuff, ways of trading, ways of ascribing value to what we think is valuable and taking away value from things that we don't think are necessary. Things like governments and central authorities and banks and all those kinds of things that many people are pissed off with. Well, Decrypto is a series that we are starting on cliffcentral.com today. It is Africa's first cryptocurrency platform. The Decrypto series is sponsored by Luno. Luno is, of course, the best platform to become educated in all things crypto. I bought my first Bitcoin on Luno. Luno makes it safe and easy to buy, store, and learn about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Visit luno.com/decrypto and sign up to redeem the exclusive promo for Decrypto listeners. So if you don't know anything about this, they will help introduce you gently. They'll take you by the hand and lead you into the world of cryptocurrencies, which you will probably find very enlightening. And right now, prices are low. That's a good time to buy. cliffcentral.com/decrypto, and you can find all the information there, or you can go to luno.com/decrypto. Either of those, whatever you prefer, go and listen to the first episode of Decrypto. The rest of the series coming soon.
Very, very cool.
All right, so I just wanted to throw in one last thing about the SABC, because I don't know if everybody's aware of this or not, but the SABC, you know, they're in trouble, they're in financial trouble. Well, according to the chairperson of the SABC board, and I left this out when we were talking about it earlier, you know what the main reason is that the SABC is in trouble?
Claudia Mosseney.
No, according to the SABC's board chairperson, it isn't Claudia Mosseney. It isn't that they've wasted money, that people have stolen money, that the place has been administered really badly. Do you know what they say they think it is?
What is it?
You not paying your TV license.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Yes.
There's the kicker. Yeah.
According to the SABC, South Africans who do not pay their TV licenses are to blame for the collapse there.
Sure.
So, think about that today.
Turn it around a year is the reason.
That's the reason, Ben.
Wow.
The Deputy Communications Minister has also jumped on the bandwagon and said an SABC TV license is great value for money.
No, it's not. It actually really is not.
Why not, Ben?
That's like saying, no. I have no use for the SABC in my entire life. You analog pieces of shit offer me zero. Absolutely jack shit nothing.
But the Deputy Minister said that only 1.8 million people out of a total of 9 million account holders are up to date with their licensing fees.
Well,
that's the main problem for their financial woes, according to her.
That's the thing when you're making statements from bandwagons, is that you can't really make any sense as you jump and jolt around.
Yeah, but they're still going to be using 30 million rands to cover the elections next year.
For the ANC, yeah.
Oh, but let's at least be grateful. It's down to 30 million after they used 40 million at the previous elections.
Here's what she said. This is Pinky Gekana. She said, "We are calling on people to say it is in our hands and in our interest to make sure that we will sustain the SABC. We know the main revenue stream around the SABC has been paying TV licenses, and that has not been happening for quite some time."
That's the main revenue stream?
You people are a bunch of buffoons. Ad revenue. You've got these channels, you've got these platforms, you have no cooking clue how to utilize that.
Go and listen to last week's episode of Gary Hertzberg's Laws of Life to hear about TV licenses. You'll find it illuminating. You'll find yesterday's episode good too. Gary is a lawyer. He puts together an incredible show every week, thought-provoking. It's usually about life, but there is an element of law to it as well, and how the law touches on your life. You might want to listen to that too. There's lots for you to download today, including the first episode of Decrypto, which comes on just after 8 o'clock this morning. I think you're going to enjoy that too. All right, last thing, one or two messages. Time-tested profession is sex work, says Casitops. We are here to stay, us sex workers. They may onboard artificial crap, but no sex worker ever has to worry about becoming obsolete. That's true.
Okay.
That's absolutely true. So there's our final word this morning from Casitops. Let's do the unnews and then get to our first episode of Decrypto, which is on the way to you this morning. By the way, Simba is not here. We were meant to have Simba in here. He's stuck in the same traffic that I was in this morning, but hopefully we'll get him in at a time very, very soon. So stick around. We'll talk about World Albinism Month, which is the month of September, and maybe we can get him in before the end of this month. All right, here's what you need to know. It is time for the un-news on cliffcentral.com. Are you ready? Most important news stories of the day, the ones that everybody's talking about, just for you. Jacob Zuma and his allies were very, very busy this past weekend. Well, when they were questioning their heritage at Nkandla, they realized that crime and corruption was their thing, and that simply is the reason that they won't go away. Cyril Ramaphosa is having a great time at the UN. With all the troubles back in South Africa, he's enjoying a Madiba break where he laps up all kinds of favorable attention from rich foreigners who will believe anything he says and treat him like a man of importance just because he stands near a statue of Madiba. And Russie Erasmus and the Bucks are in Port Elizabeth this week, gearing up for their test match against the Wallabies. Last night, they were hosted by the region's mayor in a lavish event, but nobody knew who the actual mayor was. Eventually, people just thought Siya Kolisi was the host, and now the DA are asking him if he wouldn't mind joining the party to help them reclaim that region for themselves. That's the un-news. Decrypto, coming up next. CliffCentral.com.